And thank you, Tristan Simons at Deakin University. And that's too where they're exploring the potential of nano. No, not the sunscreen type ructions we've heard about this week, but the material science possibilities. Prue Bentley prepared this report.
So on our left is focused ion beam.
Dr. Paul Collins is a researcher in nanotechnology. He and his colleagues recently showed me around the labs at the Institute for Frontier Materials at Deakin University in Geelong. Nanotechnology isn't a brand new science. The idea has been around, at least theoretically, since the 1950s, and scientists began playing with it in the lab in the 80s. But until now, we've never had the technology and expertise to fully exploit it.
And what would you use this information for?
Oh, look, this can be used for a variety of different materials, everything from steel, carbon fibre, biological materials. And what it allows us to do is actually look at how things are built in nature and also how we can manipulate things to build better structures.
Okay. I've been told to follow Richard. Now, Richard, what's your full title and name?
My name's Dr. Richard Williams. I'm a researcher in bio-nanotechnology.
It is pretty dark in here, but this is a really impressive-looking machine.
Oh, this is proper science now. Yeah, so this is the electron microscope itself. And essentially what happens is we've got a giant electron gun sat at the top of the machine, which is a big long tube, and then we have a sample holder. So what happens is we put our sample in the way of the electron beams, and then the electrons go through the sample, and then they hit a camera detector. And what this actually gives us is quite a grainy black and white image, but that grainy black and white image is actually representing molecules themselves. So that these are the things that, like, thousands of times thinner than a human hair, you can actually pick up and see different types of morphologies on it, so different types of shapes and different structures. So if you've actually built something, you can have a direct look at it and see what you've made.
It's real 21st century stuff, isn't it?
The last century was kind of macro-scale engineering, so things that you can see. But then this century will be nano-scale engineering, which is things that you can't see, and you need specialised equipment to have a look at. And now that we have access to that specialised equipment, we can start putting structures and information and functionality into things in a way that we never could do before, or at least could not understand before. So it's just opened the floodgates to this whole new technology.
The adage all of the researchers work to is that it's difficult to improve on nature, but they're definitely going to try. Professor Zhongai Wang has devoted much of his research to a traditional material, wool, which he reminds me is still a $2 billion industry in Australia.
We have been able to convert a normal wool fibre into very, very fine particles. And the purpose of doing that is to identify new value-added application for a traditional material. We're also improving the properties, the functionalities of normal wool textiles, like the UV protection effects, and also finding new applications for the fibre itself.
So we could, say, 5-10 years' time, be walking down the street in a wool product that is UV resistant, that maybe cleans itself, those sorts of things.
Oh, absolutely. I think wool is actually a very wonderful fibre. Not many people associate, you know, all these nice attributes to a very traditional material. But if you look at the functionality of wool as a fibre material, it's actually more advanced than any other fibre that I can think of.
I got the chance to see some of those fibres very close up on the massive electron microscopes in the lab with Dr. Alessandra Sutti.
50 to 20 nanometers in that image.
So what we're really looking at here is a black and white photo. It looks like a bunch of pom-poms really stuck to a piece of material.
This is a powder, pom-pom powder, made of silk. These are particles that are made in this facility as a way to give value to silk waste. They have particular properties such as metal absorption from solution. So we're trying to recover waste and use it in different ways, such as recovering metals or heavy metals from polluted water.
The range of research going on at the Institute is staggering. Just chatting with Richard, Paul and Alessandra, I heard about engineering to make better carbon fibre sports equipment and other departments making materials that will make implants safer by actually mimicking what the human body produces, such as skin. And that's on top of research into fibres that are going to make better building materials for our future structures. None of this is happening in a vacuum either. It's not just boffins in a lab. Industry's heavily involved in sponsoring and trialling new materials.
In the fibre space, for instance, we are now investing heavily in a new carbon fiber production facility, and that's going to support local industries, not just in the fibers area, but in the composite sports equipment, in the textile manufacturing areas, because those traditional textile machinery can be utilized to make carbon fiber fabrics, which can be used in composite materials. We can't really compete on the basis of costing. There's just no basis for doing that. So there has to be something new and unique in the things that we make. And if we can do that through research and innovation, then I think we're much better positioned for the future.
The man who pretty much started things at the Institute is Peter Hodson, who's seen it grow from one to nearly 200 people working there in the last decade.
If we're going to have a manufacturing industry, and there's lots of people talking about it, it has to be a smart and knowledge-intensive industry. I travel the world. I mean, I spent a lot of time in India and China, and I have no doubt that Australian industry is quite innovative. You know, I think there is a lot of scope to develop, you know, advanced materials and advanced manufacturing processes, which can give us an advantage over other parts of the world. If I go to China, they're really about, you know, large amounts of concrete, large amounts of steel. Whereas, like, One Piece Carbon Fiber Wheel Company spin off here, which is really innovative. So they're making carbon fiber, really lightweight wheels for the automotive industry. And that's the sort of thing that we're good at, because it requires knowledge of new materials, it requires engineering knowledge, and it requires manufacturing knowledge, all at very high levels. And with some of these large organisations you see overseas, they don't have that sort of innovation. And so what I want to be known for in the future is basically that all the science we do, whether it's nanotechnology science or whether it's advanced computer modelling or whatever it may be, that it does make an impact in the real world.
That's Professor Peter Hodson at Deakin University with Prue Bentley of ABC Ballarat.